afternoon, Truth Wins team. Good to be with you. Satisfaction guarantee.
Satisfaction guarantee.
Oh, we always want our satisfaction guaranteed.
God gives us satisfaction guaranteed.
Well, before we skip into our lesson, we'll start off with a quick prayer.
Dear Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this production. We thank you, Father, for all your blessings in our lives. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for your revelation, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding in everything we do. For we seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. And we ask this now in the name of Jesus, name of all names. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want satisfaction guaranteed. So what could be hindering us, and what can we do to make sure that our satisfaction is guaranteed? Well, as we know, the first thing a lot of times we're considered like sheep, but in this analogy, we're going to be considered goldfish in a goldfish bowl. So here we see a goldfish bowl. It's pretty full. All the goldfish are agreeing, thinking about the same thing and happy. But one free thinker, one that thinks out of the box, is ready to jump into a new world and advance. So we see that will change their life. Because a lot of times you say, go to a church, and all they tell you is, Jesus died on the cross and he gave salvation so you go to heaven. Well, that is true, but that's not all he offered. But if you stay in that little goldfish bowl with all those goldfish and that's all they believe, you're missing out on a whole new world in a different goldfish or in the ocean.
And so yeah, we want to be ocean. You're not in a goldfish bowl anymore.
Right, because long ago we were moving and our children had a goldfish bowl like that. And we were moving a fair long distance and we had 3 cats, 2 dogs. And we thought, well, taking the goldfish would be kind of hard in the bowl. So we gave them to a friend who had a big, huge fish aquarium. And we were amazed to see that when they got in a bigger space where there was much more there to offer them, that they grew double their size in a year. And that's what will happen to you and I, so we get our satisfaction guaranteed. As we learn how to do it, we don't stay in a little teeny fish bowl. We go to a big fish bowl, and then we end up in the ocean. And we can have...
Ocean of God.
The ocean of God. We can have things. So how are we going to get our satisfaction guaranteed?
Well, this is one way, is how you make sure to get satisfaction guaranteed. That is, the formula is found in the 4 R's. First you repent, then you renew, then you receive, then you rejoice.
Right. So that was a formula I learned when I was studying the book of Job. God gave me this. He said, this is what Job did that changed things. But we'll teach on that a little later. But what's important is repent. Because we know, like, when you go to pray, he says, if you have aught against another, first repent, and then you can come pray. And when you go to the elders of the church and they lay hands on you, then your sins are forgiven. So we know repentance and getting right with God is good, but also we need to renew, receive, and rejoice. So let's go to some scripture and see. The first one we'll start with is one from Jesus, because we are teaching. We've been going through the healings of Jesus in the New Testament, and so we're going to go to this one so you can learn something to use for you, so that you receive whatever you need so your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Right. In Mark 5:25-28, it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.
Right. So we see her, we assume she had repented, because that's a key to have repentance and be walking in love. And then she renewed her mind. And how did she do it? Well, she obviously really wanted to be well, because she spent 12 years trying to be well. And then she heard about Jesus. Heard about Jesus, because there was no, that pretty much the medical world had told her there's nothing we can do. So she heard about Jesus offering healing to people, and she said continually in other versions, not just in Mark, but in other versions, it says she continually said. So that's part of our thing, like with neuroplasticity and the quantum faith, what you say ends up becoming part of your soul, and as you feel it and you know it, it's like a kind of the,
gets in your spirit,
right? Like instead of just wishing if she touched him she'd be healed, she knew, and because she'd said enough, if I touch him I will be well.
So she had the faith that came out of her mouth, said if I just touch his garment I shall be made whole. And it, and he said at the very end after that, Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made been your faith made you whole.
Right. And we do know that what they used to do is anoint with oil, and the rabbis would wear clothing that in the hem of the garment, the oil of anointing for healing would run down into the bottom of their garment. And that's why she went to it, because she knew the anointing for healing was in the hem of his garment. So we can do the same thing as she did. We can repent. We can renew our mind. And it might be a physical healing. It might be a better job. It might be a new house. It can be anything that you want to have satisfaction guaranteed. This is the method you do it. You repent, get yourself right with God. You study your word, find a word to stand on. You say it and say it till it's really just part of you that you know that you know. Then how do we receive it? Well, that's where a lot of people go, yeah, I've got this verse and I've repented and I've said it and 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 said it, which is a good thing. But how do I go from just saying to receiving? Well, you have a point of contact. You go, okay, I'm going to use my faith. When I say amen at the end of the prayer, I receive it now. Or when the elders anoint you with oil at church, if you're being prayed for healing, when the oil hits your forehead, I receive it now. Or you can just do it by yourself. Like I said, say a prayer. When you say amen, you go, I receive it now. And we don't look to the physical to know that it's done. We know this is a spiritual thing. We've taught you quantum faith. You can go to our website, truthwins.com, and on the front page, kind of down a ways, we teach on quantum faith, how what we say, you add the God particle with it, your faith, and then what comes in is sickness, disease, and horribleness, and you add God's word and faith, the God particle, and what comes out is your health. Or if you can't pay your bills, you do the same type of thing. You choose verses and you put it in and you add your faith. And somehow God supplies the money.
You and God teaming together, his word and your word teaming together, comes together, bringing fruition.
Right. So it's a matter of you have to have a point at which you go, instead of at the point you go. Because like in it says in Isaiah, you are healed. In the New Testament, it says you were healed, so you were. So you have to have a point when you go, I'm receiving it. I am healed. It's just like your salvation.
Right now.
It's like your salvation. You just said it and received it kind of simultaneously. If you say you were in a church, they had you come forward, you prayed, and you just received it right now. And you might not have even seen a change in yourself.
Yeah.
Because you didn't get sent to heaven immediately, but it's done.
You don't let anything discredit it.
Right.
You keep it and know that it's true.
Right. So now we're going to go see how someone else in the Bible, and he didn't have Jesus yet because this is in the Old Testament. What did he do to get answered?
But he saw Jesus in the future.
Yeah. He was being bullied and how he solved the problem.
Right. And in like I say, that you're somewhere in the future and look much better than you look right now. And it says in 1 Samuel 17:45 through 47, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the enemies, the armies of Israel, the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. But this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands.
Right, so there we see David kind of doing the right thing. We know David was right with God because God himself said, David's a man after my own heart. And then he had renewed himself in a way by killing the lion and the bear. So he had used God. He knew God would be with him to help him. And then he said it. I think it's a big important part. He said, I am going to kill you today. That's what we need to do. We need to call, like Abraham did, call into existence those things that be not as though they were. So he called, he said, today I'm going to kill you. And then he went out, he used his faith. He said it would be God who would do it. He wouldn't do it with a javelin or anything. So God gave him wisdom, go get some stones and a slingshot. And he did it. And the odds of him hitting where he hit and that happening, the only way it was the odds of it happening is God.
Well, God made it happen.
Right. Because
David had the faith,
right,
that agreed with God to make it happen.
Right. So he repented. He was right with God. He renewed his mind. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Whatever he said, he said it. He said,
I shall not want.
Right. And then he said, I shall go out and I shall kill you. And he did do that. So let's go on and see another person that in the Bible that talks about like saying the right thing, because it's all kind of connected. You have to like repent. And the renewing part is really learning what God says, listening to what you say. I think that's the important thing, that you have, like when you're driving down the road, you can't say God's going to take everything and then be annoyed at the drivers in the road. And you can't go to church and hear about God's grace and how he's taking care of everything, and you get in the car and you drive home and the washing machine doesn't seem like it's doing that well, instead of like praying about it. And some, because I prayed for things that seem like they're broken and then they're not. So you can do that, but we can't go around like this week, go around and listen to yourself. What comes out is more when we become emotional, we just,
well, don't, yeah. your soul is more of a, your mind will do things rotely, just keep doing the same thing over and over. And you got to catch yourself. When you do that, you got to go, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what's right, not what I've learned to do in my rote habits.
Right.
So we put down the habits that are not right. That's a key to success.
Right. And that's where the renewing of your mind is. You renew it so that what comes out of your mouth, if something happens, God will supply all my needs. Like it'll just work out. It works out in all different kinds of ways, but God works it out. Because I'm sure that really King Saul, when David, he's going, here, wear my armor. And David goes, no, I'm going to take my slingshot.
It's too big for me. He was right. Like a 6 foot, like 6'2", 6'3", years old. Well, Saul was, and David wasn't.
Just a teenager.
Was a young kid.
It's like you just kind of have to go like, know God's word is true. So let's look at someone else in the Bible who had a big thing happen to him. And we'll just read it and then we'll talk about him.
Yeah, it says in Job 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you, but the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Right, so this is at the end of Job. It's true, Job didn't really sin, but Job said some things that were incorrect because he had heard of God, but he really didn't know, like, really the dragon or Satan is continually going up to heaven to...
harass.
to call in judgment, really, upon people. He's the persecutor of the brethren. He's up there to God.
Yeah, and the Lord of the harvest, you know, there is rules. Right. And you cause those rules to be activated against you, and God will postpone them. And the devil said, no, you can't postpone them.
Right, because I'm bringing it up to show you, look at this is what they did. So really, like what Job did, Job probably did a lot. He was like the richest man. So he was doing a lot of, and God said he was a righteous man, but you could be a righteous person and you have children and your children are doing things you don't necessarily think they should be doing. Instead of casting the care upon God and letting him take care of it, you get all fruffed up and then pretty soon you're in fear. And then that opens the door for what Satan did. And Job really, like we get the story afterwards, we believe that Moses kind of wrote the beginning, introduction, and the end because he had met Job while he was out in the desert. And so because obviously Job didn't write about his death, so he couldn't have finished the book
right.
on his own.
The prose in the middle was Job.
Right, and he's telling his story, which would be our story. Like, he was a righteous man, he was doing what was right, and he didn't understand what went wrong, and he didn't know that it was Satan, the accuser who was up in heaven, and God said, if they're doing anything that's... Because God set up the kingdom with rules, and we must abide by the rules. God must abide by the rules. And Satan is the Lord of the earth because of the sin of Adam. And he has a right to come and accuse everybody. And he's doing it day and night because he doesn't sleep like we do. So he's...
Right. Yeah, he's a spirit.
He's going around figuring out who he can accuse. And so what happened to Job is Job had heard from the patriarchs, probably.
Well, his grandfather was Jacob.
Right. And so
which was Israel.
Right. So he knew, but he also was taught about what happened with Abraham. Abraham called those things to be not as though they were, and he had a son. So he'd learned a lot of things. He'd learned them, but he really didn't he used them. Like, say you could bring your tithes into the storehouse, but you don't know that the windows of heaven will be opened and you'll get more blessings. So you're not using your faith to have it happen. So it kind of happens. But then if you've got in fear, like say you go, I can't pay my...
Which is a spiritual force.
I can't pay my house payment. Instead of going, well, I've tithed, so I know God's going... I'm going to cast the care on him and he's going to show me a way. And your way, like they went for the taxes, they caught the fish. There's all kinds of ways God can get money to you and get things taken care of you if you're doing what you're supposed to do. So what happened with Job, finally got, so instead of just hearing of God, he knew God. And then God said to him, pray for your friends. And the prayer immediately worked. And then Job got everything restored because he got himself out of the fishbowl with all those friends. Remember, Job's friends were all telling him, if you do this, if you do that, if you do that, you must have sinned, blah, blah, blah. You know, the fish in the bowl all telling you. And Job jumped out of the bowl and went into the bowl where God was. And he goes,
right.
I get it.
He was in the ocean with God.
He goes, I get it now. I understand. I can't be in fear. I understand who you are. I understand no one can stop you. Whatever your word says will happen. And so it becomes, well, it's amazing because Job got blessed, and the thing I loved...
Yeah, he was restored two times, was it?
Oh, no,
twice.
I think it was seven times.
Seven times, okay.
But What I loved too was he left an inheritance to his daughters, which hadn't been done before too.
Well,
so
she's a part of his posterity.
Right. So it was an whole opening that's what God values women. He values men. He values children.
Well, we're all the body of Christ.
Right. Anybody in the body cast, slave, free, bond, male, whatever you female. Are. You're all equal.
You're
with God.
Created in the God kind.
Yes, we're all equal. We're all equal in Christ, and He evaluates us and loves us all and wants us all to prosper. Well, it's pretty exciting. I'm going to click to the next page, and I'm hoping I have it set up right. That this is giving you a preview of it is there. It is there's the book. About Hollywood. As you can see at the bottom, we have how you can go to Amazon, or you could just put in The Life of Hollywood and Grace, and it will pop up. We're hoping you'll buy it. It's a great book for children.
Right.
It gives.
It was written by Grace, produced by Grace.
Right.
Our granddaughter.
It's a true story. It tells you how the town of Hollywood got its name, how the dog, our dog Hollywood, got his name. As you can see in the picture, there's a picture of baby Hollywood, and she's there with her mother.
Right.
Mom dog, we call
her. Mom dog.
And there's Hollywood. She was really teeny tiny. It's a true picture of her. Because you just get what you get. It would be nice to see how much bigger her siblings were, because she was about half the size of her.
Well, if you read the book, you could see the rendering of that.
Right. And so Grace is 16. She got her gold award
from Girl Scouts.
Girl Scouts. And she did rescue. So part of the proceeds will go to the rescue she worked for. She worked for a rescue. She's been working for them as a volunteer, not as an employee, because she's only 16. But she worked for them for 4 years, I believe. She got her silver with them and now her gold.
And she's done her own rendering paintings.
Right.
That's the money's been given to the rescue.
Right. She did
for
it.
The painting.
She did it also for Make-A-Wish Foundation. She painted a cat. Someone bid to have their pet painted, and she donated it all to Make-A-Wish Foundation. So she's a pretty amazing.
That was a lot of money, really.
Right.
For original drawings.
Yeah, I think she made $350 that went to Make-A-Wish Foundation for her cat photo that she painted. But you can go to truthwins.com on the front page. We have a link. But what it is about is it's really a great book for young children, say from 2 to 9. And it teaches you like about your purpose and how to make your life in a way a child can do it. And we're hoping that our viewers all buy it.
It's a good book.
It's
a well-designed book.
We've talked to a scriptwriter in Hollywood, and he's now purchased the book. And
he's a producer too.
He's a producer, and he's thinking. Well, we don't know yet that he might make a animation of it for kids, because it's just such a good story of perseverance and survival. So you'll like it. I'll put a link to it in our thing here. Here's the actual book, and on the back we do have a picture of her. There's Miss Hollywood. She's the size of a Coke can. That's probably not the smallest she was, but that's the smallest we have, showing her next to a Coke can. So she's kind of a miracle dog that she exists. And so we hope you'll tell your friends about it. You'll do like and subscribe, because as we know, as you hear the truth and know the truth, it's the truth that sets you free. The truth we want you to know is repent, renew, receive, and then rejoice and give God the glory. That's like the big thing. Is always the glory goes to God. But the good part is what we learn from the women with the issue of blood is you don't have to have Jesus there necessarily. It's what she said, and it was her faith. And it can be what you say and your faith that's aligned with the Word of God.
Amen.
So got anything else to say to them?
Truth wins.
Right, truth wins.
The word, what is it said, the scripture we say? The truth shall set you free.
The truth will set you free. So
yeah, now, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Right, and when you know the truth, then it's you will get satisfaction. Are you?
Yeah, you will get satisfaction because God's word always brings satisfaction.
Right, God heals everyone.
We're all made in the image of God, and so therefore God is perfect, and we can approach that perfection.
Right, because God. Jesus died for our sins, took care of it all, and then he gave the authority and power to the believer, which we are. And so now we repent, renew, receive, and we rejoice in the...
Rejoice.
In Jesus.
Give glory to God all the day long.
So.
Was it, how do we, you know, like that?
Oh, well, I don't know. I don't do that.
That's a Jewish action there.
It's a Jewish action. So, again, like and subscribe, and we'll be back with you with a new lesson. And we look forward to hearing how all of you have complete, guaranteed satisfaction.